In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, August 9th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The latest CNN poll puts Hillary Clinton ahead of Donald Trump in the presidential election by 10 points. If the Libertarian and Green Party candidates are included, the lead is still the same. Clinton, 45%, Trump, 35%. The Communist Party USA is getting behind the Hillary Clinton bid for the presidency. Their People's World magazine called it, quote, a clear choice, unquote, in the 2016 election. The Communist Party also supported Barack Obama for president in 2008 and 2012. Planned Parenthood receives over $500 million in government funding each year, and they do not want to lose it. The organization announced earlier this year that they've endorsed a presidential candidate for the first time, Hillary Clinton. Now they've announced they will register voters in their offices in 45 states to help the, quote, disenfranchised voters, unquote. Donald Trump was in Detroit yesterday talking economy and jobs. He revealed his plan to reduce the income tax rate for top income earners from 40% down to 33% and renegotiate the NAFTA trade deal in hopes of creating more jobs here in America. But let's not forget God's economic policies in Deuteronomy 28. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Two more candidates are in the running for president of the United States, looking to pick off votes from disenfranchised Republicans. Darrell Castle is running on the Constitution Party ticket. He is pro-life and opposes socialism and world government. Mr. Castle spoke to The World View about his intentions.
I believe the Constitution is the limit of government. It is the supreme law of the land. It is the rule of law in America, and it defines the limits of government. I'm the only one who points to the Constitution and says, that is your limit, and that is as far as you can go. That's why I don't get much mainstream press, because the mainstream doesn't like that argument.
Also, Evan McMullen, Chief Policy Director for the House Republican Conference in the U.S. House of Representatives, has announced his independent candidacy for president. He is a Mormon, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he wants America to be a powerful force in the world. The U.S. Departments of Education and Justice have issued a press statement to clarify their position on gender identity as relating to Title IX. The student may claim a gender identity without any medical diagnosis or treatment, and the statement makes it clear that males may use female bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers. Males may play on female athletic teams and vice versa, and males may share dormitories and other housing facilities with females, and vice versa. Romans 1:28 says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. More Islamic terror, now at a hospital in Pakistan. Over 70 people were killed when a suicide bomber targeted the hospital in Quetta on Monday. It was the worst attack in Pakistan since the Easter attack on Christians gathered at a park. Quetta is a base for the Taliban from Afghanistan. An Algerian Christian man has been given 5 years in prison after posting about Jesus on the Internet. Christian Today reports that he had written, quote, about the light of Jesus overcoming the lie of Islam and its prophet, unquote. The Protestant Church in Algeria is planning to fight the case. The man is one of only 39,000 Christians in Algeria, which is dominated by Muslims. If you cannot bring Bibles into a hostile country, why not fly them in with drones? A Swedish church is planning to drop thousands of Bibles over Iraq in electronic form. no larger than a pillbox. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit. Hebrews 4:12. The highly nihilistic and amoral film Suicide Squad raked in a whopping $267 million worldwide over the weekend, setting a record for box office receipts for an August release. For a pro-family and biblical perspective on movies released, check out the websites movieguide.org and pluggedin.com. And that's The Worldview on this Tuesday, August 9th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a father of five, and Bill Jack in studio with me as well from Worldview Academy today as we take a look at a few issues in the news and bring a biblical worldview to bear. What we try to do is apply the Word of God to all areas of life, and the Great Commission is there to equip the man of God for every good work and to teach them to obey whatsoever Jesus has commanded. And friends, that's a challenge. And see, we see the gospel is crucial, that people understand Jesus came to save us from our sins, but he also gave us a commission that we teach the nations to obey everything Jesus has commanded. And that's the part of it that the modern church wants to leave out. It's the other 85% of the message, or whatever it is. And we try to add the other 85% from time to time on this radio program. And for lack of the Great Commission, for lack of teaching people to obey the things that Jesus has commanded, for lack of obeying the Great Commission, the Church of Jesus Christ is languishing around the world. So we try to bring the commandments of God to bear from time to time on this radio program and fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus Christ gave to us when he went up to heaven. And I think this is a good example, Bill, of what I'm talking about, as the modern church is incapable or at least unwilling to equip the men of God for every good work and teach whatsoever Jesus has commanded. Here's an abortionist in Memphis, Tennessee. She's a Planned Parenthood medical director that says that she was raised a Christian, and that's why she performs abortion as, quote, the most important thing that I will ever do.
Wow. Wow.
That's pretty intense. It's Dr. Sarah Wallet, the medical director of Planned Parenthood Greater Memphis. And she said she was raised in a Christian home in Lexington. We went to church regularly, said prayers before meals, and I was taught from childhood that it was my duty to help people in need and leave the world a better place than I found it. The compassion and empathy I learned from my Christian faith are fundamental to my work. So this, again, friends, is a good illustration of the impact the Christian church is making on this nation. We are supposed to be discipling the nations by teaching them to observe everything Jesus has commanded. Now, this woman is saying you've got to love others. And as Rudyard Kipling said, it all started by loving his neighbor and ended by loving his wife. The only problem is that we wind up loving whatever we want to love in whatever way we want to do it. So, friends, it's the anarchy. It's the love that sheds the commandments of God that characterizes the church in America, certainly the evangelical church. Bill, this is the point. It's a lawless love. It's a love that starts with loving his neighbor and ends with loving his wife. Cannibals love their victims.
Yep.
They taste good. You see, you can define love any way you want to, and this woman certainly is doing that here, isn't she?
Yes. In fact, oftentimes you hear Romans 13:8, owe nothing to any man except to love one another. Therefore, I am your brother. You are to love me. That's what the homosexual says, for example.
Uh-huh.
The abortionist says, I love the unwed mother who's pregnant, and therefore I'm going to kill her child. Well, you don't read the rest of it, and in the rest of it, it quotes four of the Ten Commandments in Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to any man except to love your neighbor Okay, and then it quotes for the Ten Commandments. If you love your neighbor, you will not steal your neighbor's car, for example. If you love your neighbor, you will not steal your neighbor's wife, for example. If you love your neighbor, you will not steal your neighbor's life. I mean, there are commands right there. Love is not this gushy, mushy feeling. It is an act of the will based on a standard, and that standard is God's word. It's God's law.
This woman, friends, she is a medical director in a Planned Parenthood in Memphis. She says she's a Christian, and that's why abortion is the most important thing I will ever do. It's her Christian faith that's fundamental to her work. The only problem with that is Exodus chapter 21. And yes, I understand that most Christians ignore it, and it's not taught in Christian churches. I understand that. I understand that the Bible is largely irrelevant to the Christian faith, and whatever this Christian faith is, it is quite independent of the Word of God. But friends, Exodus 21, 22, and 23 provide a civil punishment for the miscarriage of a preborn infant resulting from human-caused hostile environments. Again, Exodus 21, 22, and 23, it's the Lex Talionis for those who have read the Word of God. Exodus 21 provides a civil punishment for the miscarriage of a preborn child that resulted from a human-caused hostile environment. And arguing from lesser to greater, carving up children and cutting them up and sucking out their brains and forcing them to death in chemical baths is just as bad, even worse, than creating a hostile environment as what you'll find in the case of the Lex Talionis in Exodus chapter 21. But if you cut Exodus 21 out of your word, if you say, I'm not going to take God's word from Exodus 21, if you say, I don't like the law of God, I don't delight in it, I hate it, I won't read it, I won't keep it, and I won't obey it, then, of course, Exodus 21 will be irrelevant to you, and you will live your Christian life. You will live out your Christian faith as this abortionist does, and as Adolf Hitler did as well. My friends, I would encourage you to the Word of God and to be among those who keep the faith and keep the commandments of God. That is, you respect the commandments of God, at least in the end times. And that is what Revelation 14:12 tells us. That's why we've put together this series of books, Keep the Faith, on sexuality, on the family, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. You want to know the commandments of God as it pertains to homosexuality, abortion, and other issues? Friends, you need to keep the commandments of God. It is crucial. It is what Christians do in the end times, in the last days. Over the last 2,000 years, Christians will keep the faith, and they will keep the commandments of God. Get the book, Keep the Faith, on sexuality, on abortion, on the family. It's just one little book, 120 pages at our website, generations.org. Keep the faith. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, here with you, and Bill Jack also with me today. And I'm going to continue on this vein of bringing God's Word to bear, but not just in the political realm, or not just in the social cultural realm, but also in the personal realm. And I want to bring this home one more time, using a couple of important articles that have come out recently. First of all, let's talk about political documentaries. Two men have produced political documentaries that are leading in the box office, Dinesh D'Souza and Michael Moore, one being conservative, the other liberal. And Michael Moore has taken on the environmental thing and a few other issues along the way. And he effectively dominates the political documentary genre in the box office. But Dinesh D'Souza has taken second place with a movie he produced back 4 years ago called Obama's America. He has recently come out with another, Hillary's America, and so far it has topped out $10 million in the box office. I think it's been out for about 2 to 3 weeks. But the point I want to make, I don't want to analyze these documentaries at this point on this radio program, but first I want to, you to know something about these men. Michael Moore filed for divorce on June 27, 2013. Dinesh D'Souza filed for divorce in 2012, just a year earlier. Dinesh D'Souza had been married for 20 years, Michael Moore for a little less than that, something like 16 years. I just want to draw this out because I think it's important. Man's life matters. And Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so it's important for us to analyze the life as well as the work, which is why what I do in the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West as well. But it's interesting that these guys have some similarities. There are differences, of course. But there's some similarities here as well.
You know, in that top five list, depends on who you go to find the top five. There's also another guy that is very prominent, and that is Al Gore,
right.
An Inconvenient Truth.
Good
and
yes.
He also shares that same characteristic with these other two guys.
Is that right?
Yes, he's divorced from his wife.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that those involved in politics oftentimes have a personal life that's fraught with problems. And Right Wing Watch has identified this as something of an issue. I don't always refer to Right Wing Watch in a positive way. But I think at points, we need to acknowledge something that they're saying. If they're pointing out something that has some truth to it, then I think we need to pay attention to what they are saying. And they point out that Dinesh D'Souza is a questionable icon for so-called traditional values. He resigned as president of King's College in 2012. We remember that after a scandal over his traveling with and calling himself engaged to a woman who was married to another man. And then he was still married to his first wife when he was saying he was engaged to this other woman. And on it went. Well, recently, D'Souza has been remarried, and according to Right Wing Watch and other media outlets, the twice-divorced Rafael Cruz officiated at D'Souza's wedding, which was the second marriage for both bride and groom, and they say it's just one more example of how flexible the religious right's moral absolutes about marriage can be when they hit close to home or when they involve a political ally such as Newt Gingrich or Rush Limbaugh, to which I said, ouch. Is it appropriate for me to say ouch at times?
Yes, it is.
I just say ouch. They got me here. They're getting us here. Houston, we have a problem. And by the way, the records on Gingrich and Limbaugh, in the spring of 1980, Gingrich left his first wife after beginning an affair with Marianne Ginther. In 1984, Jackie Batley Gingrich told the Washington Post that the divorce was a complete surprise to her. In 1993, while still married to Marianne, Gingrich began an affair with House of Representatives staffer Calista Bissek, who is 23 years his junior. And Gingrich and his second wife then were divorced in 2000. By the way, Rush Limbaugh has had four marriages, three divorces, and no children. Now, arguably, these are some of the most influential men in conservative politics in America over the last 20, 30 years. Thinking Limbaugh, Gingrich, and D'Souza. D'Souza being the most conservative political commentator, or at least political documentary filmmaker in the history of political film. So, you know, what can be said about this? Well, my friends, when the foundations are destroyed, what do the righteous do?
Yeah,
they run for president of the United States to clean everything up in 4 years. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You see, this brings back an illustration I've used a number of times, and I think we need to, as conservatives at least, be a little bit humble on this, because conservatives need to acknowledge their hypocrisies. It's the difference between conservatives and liberals. Liberals build monuments to their hypocrisies. They act as if they don't exist. They build monuments to them, and they fall down and worship themselves and their monuments. But conservatives are supposed to be those who acknowledge their brokenness, acknowledge their hypocrisies, acknowledge their weaknesses, acknowledge the fundamental issues. Conservatives need to be the most honest and the most humble. They need to be. Now, that's not always the case, but they at least should be. There are three kinds of hypocrites. There are those who never acknowledge any of it and are still conservative. And then there are those who they just hide from their hypocrisies. And then there are those who acknowledge it and humble themselves. And then there's liberals who build their monuments to hypocrisy.
I think maybe we need to add an adjective, or maybe make the conservative the adjective. If it's a conservative Christian, he acknowledges his shortcomings,
sure,
his hypocrisies. There are those who are conservative who do not claim to be Christians. Mm-hmm. They're just socially conservative or economically conservative, and therefore they're just as dangerous as the non-Christian liberal.
And there's not much politics can do once the masses have embraced convenience divorce, and once the masses have embraced fornication, porn habits, and everything else. There's not a whole lot you can do when the foundations are destroyed. What shall the righteous do? Shall we put a police officer in every single basement in America where 80% of 18 to 26-year-old young men are addicted to pornography? Friends, what do you do when Pandora's box is broken wide open and the Christian church itself is shot through with divorce and pornography habits and all the rest? When the foundations are destroyed, what do the righteous do? Can political solutions ever solve these issues? And my answer is no, of course not. The foundations are destroyed. And just getting a president elected for 4 years is not going to deal with the fundamental issues that create the environment in which nations fall apart, in which tyranny rises, in which socialism is inevitable, in which all of these other things are going to happen. Why? Because the foundations are destroyed. It's just not going to work to get a Republican president elected for 4 years and somehow restore the foundations. It's just carpet cleaning. I like to give the illustration of this home going through an 11.0 earthquake. I've got 8-foot fissures in my basement, and some joker comes to my door and says, "I'm here to clean your carpets." What do I tell him? I say, "Clean my carpets? I don't need my carpets cleaned. I need concrete. Go get me concrete. I need concrete in the basement." And as long as we've got a nation in which half of marriages are ending in divorce, 95% of people who are getting married have confessed to premarital sex, and 57% of kids born to millennial women are born outside of wedlock. Friends, the foundations are destroyed. What do the righteous do? There's no way we can ever reduce the impact of Obergefell upon this nation as long as we've got all of these divorces, and our leaders themselves, our pastors, our conservative Christian leaders, are shot through with divorces. They had a divorce in 1970, another one in 85, they have another one in 93, and then another one in 2004. And you think that these conservative talk show hosts have any influence whatsoever upon a nation to change the direction of a nation? You've got to be kidding me. Their own lives are fouled up. There's no way. There is no way that they're going to make anything of an impact on the nation if they're contributing to the dry rot of the nation in their personal lives. Bill, have I gone too far?
No. Now, we have to understand that there are political commentators who do not claim to be Christians, who are conservative, and so they are going to espouse some of the same ideals that we have and that we hold dear. But you're right. We cannot look to them as the ones who have the answers to the problems that we face, because we don't start with the social commentators. We start with God's Word.
When Right-Wing Watch turns to us and says, well, now,
thou art the man.
Thou art the man, yeah. Which is really what they're doing.
Yeah.
What do you do when they say, you know, you've got fundamental issues, you're playing a part, and you're contributing to the fundamental issues that are destroying this nation? I think all you can say is, got me. Houston, we have a problem. At this point, God's finger is in our face, and he's saying, you are the man. The problem is with you. And it's at this point we realize the solution is not another political documentary addressing Hillary's America. The solution at this point is to be on our faces before God and falling down before him and crying out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and repentance that affects our marriages for the next 45 years and affects the way that we raise our children, affects the way that we interact in our families, affects the ways in which we build our local churches, affects the way in which we begin to live a life of repentance and forgiveness and humility and so forth and so on. Friends, I think unless we begin to apply our concrete in the basements of our lives, there's no sense in working on the window coverings 27 stories up where there's a crack here and a crack there. Politics will do almost nothing to solve this nation's problems unless there is repentance across this nation to solve the very fundamental issues that afflict our lives. Let me turn to another issue here. My father sent me this article just recently in which we discover that 11 states now have more people on welfare than they have employed, and that includes California, New Mexico, New York, Illinois, Kentucky, Ohio, Alabama, Mississippi, et cetera, et cetera. These are the states in which there are more people on welfare than there are employed. Last month, the Senate Budget Committee reported that in fiscal year 2012, between food stamps, housing support, child care, Medicaid, and other benefits, the average U.S. household below the poverty level received $168 a day in government support. And it turns out the median household income in America is just over $50,000, which averages out to $137 a day. So the median household income is running at $137 a day. The average U.S. household below the poverty level is receiving $168 a day in government support, which, according to my math, is about $31 above the median income in America, the median household income in America. To put it another way, being on welfare now pays the equivalent of $30 an hour for a 40-hour week, while the average job is paying $24 an hour.
Wow.
So now, given that situation, that America's foundations are destroyed, the character of the nation is pretty much ruined, how in the world are we going to reverse these trends? We've created multiple generations on welfare. We've created a nation in which the character of the nation is in free fall, and the character of the nation gets worse and worse with each additional generation. I think what we're seeing here is that tyranny and anarchy play off on each other until eventually the towers come down, simply because the towers can't sustain the pressures anymore. You can't build these towers high enough to sustain the breakdown of character that has happened over previous generations.
Now, you don't build a 20-story building on a bridge.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on here, is that this flimsy structure of government being the answer to our problems is merely the bridge that people are trying to build their lives on. And we need a firm foundation. We need a rock, a solid foundation upon which to build the culture. And that starts with God's Word. That's why I teach Worldview. That's why I work for Worldview Academy. That's why you do what you do, is we need to reestablish the foundations. We need to build a biblical worldview in every area of life. It is not just this Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Yes, Jesus loves you, But he wants you to think through. That's why he gave us his word. That's why he gave us his whole word. If all he wanted to do was get us saved, then he could have sent us a tract. Why did he send us the whole Bible? To teach us to think and then live in accord with a biblical worldview and apply that throughout culture so that there is not just personal salvation, but liberty for all. And that's why we teach worldview.
If there were 5 million functional Christian families in America, 5 million functional Christian families in America, that might be about 5% of the population, friends. The nation might survive. Now, again, this takes us back to Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the dealings that Abraham had with God just prior to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham began with 20 righteous men, and then he moved down, or I think it was 50 righteous men, down to about 20, down to 10. And he was, if there was just 10 left in Sodom, would you destroy it? And God kept coming back and saying, no, no, no. But as it turns out, there was only one righteous family left. And that was a bit questionable.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because there wasn't enough salt. And friends, it only takes a minority, and that's why we are bringing this radio program. That's why the Ministry Generations. We believe that unless there are strong families and strong marriages, unless our families are in the Word of God, as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down, unless we are daily in the Word of God, daily in prayer, daily in worship, unless we are discipling our families in the Word of God, we will find less and less of a godly heritage in this nation, friends. We're going to find there will be less and less people with solid families, solid marriages. I doubt that there are 5 million faithful families in America. It's hard to believe there would be that many solid marriages across this country. Friends, if the leaders are breaking down, if the pastors, if the conservative leaders in America represent some of the worst marriages and some of the worst families in America, what can we say for the rest of it? Well, it begins with a minority. It begins with those who are willing to commit themselves to the Lord. First of all, realizing that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And this, I believe, to be the only salvation for this country. There's a point at which there is so much anarchy. There's so much of a breakdown of the family happening in America and Russia and elsewhere around the world that these nations simply cannot survive it. Tyranny will do its best to try to compensate for the anarchy and for the breaking down of sexuality in the family. Tyranny, big government socialism, will do its best to try to compensate for it. But I'm here to tell you, there'll be a point at which tyranny and anarchy will not survive. These republics, these empires will collapse. And chaos will result. I'm talking about a Mad Max sort of thing that will prevail for a number of years until what? Until Jesus saves us. Until the gospel gets out there, until people realize that their only possibility of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from out of this world into this world in order to save this world from destroying itself, in order to save us from our sins. And so that's the thing that salvages nations is Christians. The thing that maintains some level of sanity and stability in any nation, whether it be Sweden, Russia, or America, will be Christians who are regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Their sins have been forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And over time, they're discipled and they establish for themselves stronger families, stronger churches, and strong communities. Without the salt, we're not going to see the preservation of nations here. We need the salt. And I'm not saying that Christians have to dominate in the sense that we make up 51% of the population.
Never has been.
But I'd be happy for 5% or 10%.
Yep. Because we're looking for a few. We're like Marine recruiters. We're looking for a few committed Christians who are willing to stand and speak. And I think that's what the hope is that we understand that our hope is not put in institutions and man's solutions. It's put in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who transforms us from the inside out. And then we go out and we be salt and light in the culture.
you know, it's interesting, Bill, the secularists are struggling with how in the world to deal with the rising chaos of the day, the social instability of the day. There's an article in the New York Times about orderism. How do we bring more tyranny in order to somehow salvage something of a stability across these modern nations, while at the same time not tipping into a totalitarianism? So even the New York Daily News and the New York Times is grappling with this. How in the world do modern nations survive? How do we ratchet up the tyranny but not turn the nations into a full-fledged totalitarianism? They think we're going to need an increased level of fascism or communism in order to salvage these nations. Friends, I'm here to tell you the solution will be God's law, because God's law perfectly balances the one and the many, the rights of the individual and the rights and the obligations of the community. God's law is a perfect balance between the one and the many, sustaining strong families with the fifth commandment, with marriage, giving security to the family, building character into the children, establishing responsibility for the father in the home, reducing the possibility of single women running towards Hillary to vote for more socialism and totalitarianism in order to get their bennies and their security in their old age. Family economies have always been the most stable through recessions, a little more conservative, more careful with debt. God's system of family, God's system of charity through the church and through private means is the way in which we sustain the character of the community. We may not salvage nations, but I think we'll wind up finding that Jesus, through his gospel, is going to salvage church communities over the years to come. We're going to find local churches empowered, local families sustained. Do you think the church is going to disappear? Of course it's not going to disappear. The Church of Jesus Christ will continue, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can't guarantee the salvaging of the nation. I cannot guarantee the salvaging of an empire. But I can guarantee that the Church of Jesus Christ will press through. If we continue to teach whatsoever Jesus has commanded and to disciple our church communities, there will be stable churches, stable church communities, and stable families in the years to come. This, my friends, is an important goal of the Generations Radio Ministry. Grab a copy of my new book, Family Life, available right now on our website. It's a brand new book on restoring the vision for the Christian family in the 21st century. Friends, it's there. It's there. It's from the Word of God. The principles come from the Word of God, and they are there in order to establish the Church of Jesus Christ, to maintain the stability of life on earth and the opportunity to disciple families, children, successive generations in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Family Life. My new book, available at our website, generations.org. Get your copy of Family Life today at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.